are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. And thanks for making Locked On Brewers your first listen every day. We post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and we are free and available on all platforms. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Check out my bio there where you can see everywhere I am covering the game of baseball. And joining me is my co-host, Vinny Rutino, and you can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Rutino. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. Obviously, today we'll be talking about the NLDS, wrapping up that series, talking about Game 5, going through a lot of takeaways from that game, kind of just reflecting back on the series as a whole. Before we get into that, let me tell you about our friends at Spotify Green Room. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me the next time I go live to get in on the action. So, like I said, we'll get into game five here. I'm obviously a little tired, stayed up a lot last night watching this game and watching the other game as well. But the Brewers fall short 5-4, lose the series 3-1 to the Atlanta Braves and are eliminated from the postseason. A tough finish here for the Brewers, Vinny. Before I even just get into Game 5 in this series specifically, I mean, it's hard to look back at it now. But, I mean, it was a good season for the Brewers. I know fans don't really want to hear that now. But overall, I mean, to get to this point, to run away with the division, you know, if you would have told me you were going to get less than 20 combined home runs from Yelich and Kesson Hira coming into the season, I would have told you this team would have tanked, finished dead last in the NL Central. But, you know, credit to them. They got some great starting pitching to lean on going forward. And I think this is, you know, just the first step for a young team. Obviously got some things to work on offensively, but I still think this team has a very bright future, Vinny.
Without a doubt. I mean, yeah. I mean, the pitching was probably the best staff in all of the league, the starting pitching staff. And so, I mean, you got steps forward from every single guy, including Eric Lauer and Adrian Hauser. So now you got the big three, obviously, and then you got a couple other guys that are, I mean, in contention to be those type of front of the rotation arms. Eric Lauer certainly has impressed me. I think Adrian Hauser will continue to just be a very, very productive middle of the rotation type of an arm, call those roll sixes, which are extremely valuable as in the scouting industry. So I think he'll continue to improve and continue to build off of this season. So yeah, I mean, the fact that they won 95 games is remarkable. They were picked to win about 88 games by Pakoda, which is extremely accurate predictor of success based off of a lot of the metrics and the analytics that they kind of dig into. They were picked to win 88 games, and you know, obviously they surpassed that and then some. So 95 wins, obviously team culture is great. Just ran into a really tough series. Things didn't really go their way on the whole, and they didn't swing the bats. But yeah, things that build off of, they'll be in contention every single year as long as that rotation stays intact.
I certainly agree there. Again, I know hard to hear right now for fans, but this team had did really good things this year, and I think they have a really bright future ahead of them. We're going to take an early break because there's so much to get into in Game 5. So I'm going to take an early break here, and then we'll dive into all of that. Again, as I mentioned at the top, this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. And once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the Milwaukee Brewers or whatever your favorite team is. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You'll have a chance to chat with me and might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Brewers podcast through our Green Room conversations. Go download the free Spotify Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group of your choice for the latest league updates. Follow me at shortstopball and the app to be notified when my room goes live. All right, Benny. So as I said, a lot really to dive into when you get into game five and everything that happened. You know, obviously it's a do or die type game for the Brewers. So you got some interesting decisions going in there. You know how much I like to second guess in Monday morning quarterback here, but I'll just give you what my biggest, I don't know what to call it, disappointment. My biggest argument was with the moves that Council made. Again, I don't fault him for a lot of stuff he did in this game. You know, back against the wall, you know, sometimes you do some crazy things. But for me, the worst decision of the game came when he decided to bring in Aaron Ashby. You had just taken a lead, and you really needed a shutdown inning, and you put a rookie in there to try and get that done when we find out, you know, Brandon Woodruff was available. To me, that was the one really bad decision from Craig Counsell in this game, to bring in a rookie in that situation in an elimination game when you have Brandon Woodruff available. To me, I thought that was the biggest mistake from Counsell in this game.
I hear you. I disagree. Shocker that we disagree on something. But I thought Aaron Ashby pitched well. I thought Luis Urias didn't make a play. That chopper hit by Ozzie Albies should have been made. In my opinion, 90% of the third baseman in the league make that play. It's a bang bang play. He couldn't get it out of his glove. We've seen that a number of times from him this year. He played a phenomenal third base besides that play yesterday. So I do think that inning and Aaron Ashby's outing on the whole, you could see Aaron Ashby get real tense and kind of clam up a little bit. And that's on him after that play. But I do think things would have been differently. I'm playing Monday morning quarterback a little bit there in terms of, you know, things would have turned out differently. And you can do very easy to do that and play scenarios out where if this would have happened, this wouldn't have happened type of thing. But, you know, I do think that was a factor. I think that play should have been made. Again, 90% third baseman in the league, that's a bang bang play. Even though Ozzie Albies is really fast, that play's made. Austin Riley makes that play, right? I mean, we saw him make that play barehanded earlier in the game. So I'll say that the decision for me, Jake, is the one with taking out Eric Lauer. He was dealing. I thought he was absolutely dealing. I thought they couldn't square him up. He made a pitch, tried making a pitch, and he ended up being hit by pitch. It wasn't a bad pitch. Kind of stuck his who was that, Duvall or not Duvall? That was later in the game. It was
that the Heredia kid
was playing one? Center fielder. Yeah,
Heredia.
Yep. Bases loaded. Then he takes him out. Orlando Arcia is hitting 198. I'd rather face Orlando Arcia with a guy with one of the best pitchers in baseball in the second half in Eric Lauer. I'd rather face a guy hit 198 with him rather than bring in Hunter Strickland facing a guy, you know, who's hitting whatever 260 or whatever. Who pinch hit there? Rosario. Eddie Rosario. So that's the decision for me. That was the wrong decision. I think Brandon Woodruff was probably available in an emergency, and there was obviously an emergency. I don't think they planned on bringing him back on 2 days rest to cover a couple innings in the middle of the game. I think it was more like an emergency situation, like all, you know, if these options are out of there. But I hear what you're saying. If he is available at all, why not bring him in there? Because your backs are against the wall. I get what you're saying. But the decision for me is you got to keep Eric Lauer, and he's been one of the best pitchers in the game. He only goes 3 1/3, and that situation, he was dealing. They were not touching him, and all of a sudden you bring him out to face, take him out, and he was facing a 198 hitter. Let him face Orlando Arcia. That was the decision that boggled my mind a little bit.
Yeah, that was one for me too. I was actually listening to a Braves podcast after the game, and they said that was one of the bigger moments for them, because that's a huge win for the Braves, because you got Arcia up, like you said, hitting under 200, and you bring in Eddie Rosario has been a really good hitter for the Braves in the second half. And, you know, it's not like he squared the ball up, kind of a broken bat blooper, but still, like you said, I felt more comfortable with Lauer against Arcia than I did Strickland versus Rosario. So yeah, probably a little bit of overmanaging there. I think the other major complaint I had in this game is, and it's really part of the Ashby move, is that Narvaez came out of the game. And for me, Narvaez was really one of, I guess, two or three hitters in this Brewers line. I thought Narvaez had some of the best at-bats in this series for the Brewers. And you take that bat out of the game. That, to me, I didn't love that move as well. And he ended up using three catchers in this game. But I didn't like Narvaez coming out. I thought he'd had some of the better at-bats for the Brewers this series, a team that had been struggling offensively. And you take out the one guy, you know, who really had been a consistent hitter, you know, hit 375 in the series with an 875 OPS. So that's another one for me, Vinny, I didn't agree with, taking out one of your best hitters, you know, early in the game or mid-game.
Yeah, that's a good call. I didn't even really think about that one. Narvaez has been swinging the bat extremely well, right? I mean, the at-bats that he's had against some really tough arms has been really good all series long. I mean, he poked a couple of big hits the other way. Really tough at-bats, tough to strike out. Yeah, I mean, he was a presence in that lineup, just like Rowdy Tellez was. So I do see what you're saying there. Perhaps they were thinking, like, you know, look, got some pretty nasty lefties in AJ Minter and Tyler Matzek in the holster for the Braves. And so maybe like, okay, they're going to bring those guys in anyway. We need the right-handed bat type of an idea. But even still, you know, Narvaez has good at-bats against left-handed pitchers as well. And, you know, he's kind of showing that in this series. So tough one. These are nitpicky type of questioning the moves here. I do think there was a little bit of overmanaging and the over kind of shuffling yesterday. Not egregious, I don't think. These are subtle things, you know, that obviously tough to manage in those moments, in the heat of the moment, because we'd be going the other way perhaps if they lost and didn't make many of these moves either. So yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's subtle stuff here. So very tough decisions at the time.
Yeah, no, definitely agree. I mean, I don't put a lot of this on council. You got to score runs, but I mean, when these games are so tight and so close, you do have to, you know, kind of question a lot of these decisions. And had you made, you know, a different decision here or there. I didn't like a lot of decisions that Brian Snitker made in this game, but you know, it just happened to work out a little bit better for them. So you know, when you're playing these tight games like this, every move matters, every little thing matters. Unfortunately, things just didn't go the way of the Brewers. And then let's talk about the Freddie Freeman homer, and then we're going to try to end on a positive note here. But I mean, this is what postseason baseball is about. I agree with the decision to bring Hader in there. You maybe could make the argument that Woodruff could have gone back out there. I don't think Woodruff had thrown a lot of pitches, and the pitcher spot was due up in the top of the ninth, lead off the top of the ninth. So, I mean, you can make the argument that Woodruff should have stayed out there. Yeah, he only threw 12 pitches. But, you know, I don't mind the Hader decision there. But Hader, lefty-lefty against Freddie Freeman. We've talked about him already on the podcast, you know, just how good of a hitter he was. He left a slider up. Freddie Freeman didn't miss it, had three hits in this game, all to the opposite way, which when he gets going, that's where he hits a lot of his balls. But, I mean, your thoughts on Hader coming in the eighth and just that at bat against Freddie Freeman?
I mean, yeah, bring him in my opinion. Let him throw two innings, even though council said he wasn't going to do that with Hader this series. But yeah, I mean, you have Boxberger to go a couple at least after him if it goes to extras, but I have no issue going with Hader there. I don't know how Freddie Freeman hit that. He was even quoted after the game to say he doesn't know how he really hit that. I mean, it was a hanging slider, but at the same time, if you are used to facing Josh Hader and you are kind of akin to, you know, being ready for that 99 mile an hour invisible ball that he throws that no one can hit, usually you're not locked in and ready to hit that slider. It's just a testament to who Freddie Freeman is, right? I mean, this guy is a guy that is on another level in terms of the ability to barrel up baseballs and have quality at bats. I mean, he's on another level. I mean, it's so consistent. I said it at the start of the series. I said it all through the series. This is a guy you can't have beat you. This is the guy that scares me. I even said against Josh Hader, I don't want this guy up with a game on the line. And sure enough, that's how the season ends up ending for the Brewers. So the guy's that good. I mean, he's just that good that he can lefty on lefty Josh Hader slider. That's been effective all year. Hung it a little bit, but yeah, I mean, first pitch over the wall. I doubt that's ever happened to Josh Hader against lefty on lefty. I can remember Rafael Devers in the playoffs a couple of years ago as a rookie. He did that to Aroldis Chapman, lefty on lefty, 100-mile-an-hour fastball at Rafael Devers' neck. And it was kind of like an unprecedented thing, never happened before type, similar type thing, I think, that happened to Josh Hader yesterday.
Yeah, I think they said that was the first home run by a left-handed batter off Josh Hader since September 12th, 2020. So it's a very rare feat. I also think they said Freddie Freeman's the only left-handed hitter that's hit multiple home runs off Josh Hader. So again, testament to Freddie Freeman and just, I mean, playoff baseball, the things that never happen, happen. Hader does not give up a lot of home runs, doesn't give up a lot of home runs to lefties. And that's ultimately what decided the game. And plus the fact the Brewers offense just couldn't score. So we'll take another break and come back, try to end on a positive note, talk about some good things from this series and moving forward. Show is also brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, then look no further. Built Bar has a ton of flavors and a wide variety of flavors at that. It's not just your regular chocolate chip fudge, cookies and cream. Has a bunch of different flavors from coconut, almond toffee, mint, peanut butter fudge, dark chocolate, raspberry. There's a ton of really interesting, really cool flavors you don't normally get in protein bars, something that's going to give you a very unique taste, something that tastes good. And what I appreciate is they're not hard as a rock like a lot of the other protein bars out there. Has a soft middle, so it's very easy to chew and easy to get down. So whether you like to take them before workout, after workout, as a meal replacement in the morning, or whether they're just a snack for you like they are for me, you can eat them anytime. Again, they're packed with protein, not a lot of carbs involved. Can't tell you enough how good they are, especially for a protein bar. So go to BuiltBar.com today. Try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use our promo code at LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order. Just go to BuiltBar.com today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON15. All right, Vinny. So a couple of good takeaways from this game. I know that's really hard to focus on right now, but you mentioned it earlier. Luis Urias, to me, is a third baseman of the future for this team. And that is a complete turnaround from where I was with him at the beginning of the year. But what he did defensively in this game, you know, the heads-up play in foul territory, you could argue maybe that ball hit the ground. And then he saved two runs on a ball shot down the line by Dansby Swanson that would have scored two. That was a huge play. He had another, you know, kind of slow roller later in the game. I know you mentioned the play that he didn't make, but he had another slow roller later in the game to get out of an inning that saved a run. I mean, he himself defensively saved at least three runs in this game. He also got on base a ton in this series. For me, Luis Urias was a bright spot. You know what? Again, I was very harsh on him earlier in the year, but he is, you know, getting better as a hitter. He's looking better as a defender over at third base. So I think the Brewers have found their third baseman for at least the next couple of years, Vinny.
Look, Luis Urias is a tough one to figure out. I agree with what you're saying. I think Luis Urias is a very productive major league player at this point. The defense scares me with the throwing. That's all I can say about that. Like, unbelievable plays that he made. Unbelievable plays, right? I mean, and he made them look routine. He made them look easy. And then that slow roller, you got to make that play. You got to make that slow roller play. I think he's young. I'm going to go ahead and say that maybe he will figure this out and just be more consistent and be that reliable major league type third baseman that you need. I mean, he's very promising. And from where he was in spring training and last year to what he has become is remarkable. Andy Haynes And the entire coaching staff has turned this kid into a triple A player. And that's essentially what he was last year. And in spring training is what he was looking like. And even at the beginning of the year, the first 40 at bats or something, he made some changes to his swing. He moved positions and played a decent third base. He did, you know, like I said, make a couple of mistakes at times, which you expect from a young player, and you hope that they correct that. And he's turned into at least a 55 type offensive player, right? Just overall, like, he gets on base. The guy really does a phenomenal job of knowing what a ball and a strike looks like, which can't say that a lot about every single batter in this lineup, right? I mean, that is so valuable to a lineup. That Omar Narvaez type of quality at bat, every single at bat, that Jace Peterson type of quality at bat, Lorenzo Cain, those are the at bats you need up and down the lineup. If you don't get the production that you expect to get from an MVP type player, like, you know, that we've seen from Christian Yelich, if you don't get that, then you're going to need nine guys or eight guys, whatever, in the lineup every single night to give that type of quality at bat. And that's what Luis Urias does. And he's learned how to pull the ball in the air for homers as well. So look, I really have been impressed overall with Luis Urias. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. So we'll see, you know, how that goes, obviously what the plan is with him going forward, but yeah, from where he was at the beginning of the year to where he is now, definitely a major improvement. Also want to give major props to Lorenzo Cain. I mean, the guy's out there playing with a busted neck and gets two hits in this game and an RBI. So, you know, major props to him. Rowdy Tellez, I mean, two huge hits in this series. That home run he hit in game five was an absolute blast of a shot. One of the furthest home runs I've seen hit in that ballpark to dead center. So, you know, those are some positives in this series as well. I mean, the pitching did exactly what it had to. We all know what it came down to in this series. The offense just didn't do enough. And Vinny, for me, this is a concern, you know, I've had for weeks now. I know several fans have had for weeks now, is that, you know, really since mid-September, you know, when Adames got hurt, Avisel Garcia got hurt, Tellez got hurt, and they were all banged up coming into the postseason. You know, Yelich still wasn't hitting for power. You know, those were all major worrisome signs for me coming into the postseason. Didn't play well down the stretch. I think I saw something where they lost like 52 of their last 20 or 15 of their last 22 games or something like that. Hey, again, we are all just pointing to the fact, you know, those are meaningless games. They're getting healthy and ready for the postseason. But I think in the end, Vinny, it was the fact that they were just banged up down the stretch, a little rusty, not playing good baseball, didn't have a lot of momentum coming into the postseason.
Agreed. I think Charlie Morton was absolutely filthy. I think a couple of things. I think Charlie Morton was absolutely filthy. I think that the bats, like you said, weren't really kind of woken up and ready to fire on all cylinders for the playoffs. So there's that. And then I also think just the name, you know, the guys that they had in their lineup aren't the types that are just going to take over the game offensively. I think, again, it's just like the quality at bat type of player that they have up and down the lineup, which is fine, but then you just got to get those quality at bats from them. They just didn't have a lineup anchor this year. They just were without it. And without the lineup anchor, you're going to suffer to score runs and have those threats kind of consistently throughout, you know, the game. You know, with that said, I think the Braves also struggled mightily with the bats. I think they got a couple of home runs from Jock Peterson. That was about it before this. So, but to my point, you had that lineup anchor in Freddie Freeman. That was, again, always looming, always ready to, you know, be careful around. And so that creates some situations with your pitching staff that, you know, it just puts a little extra pressure on your pitching staff. And I thought that that's what we saw. The dam kind of broke open yesterday in terms of being able to corral this Braves lineup. And they just, you know, they scored five and we scored four at the end of the day. And so, yeah, I agree with you at to an extent. They did not look like they were sharp with their ability to have quality at-bats up and down the lineup this series. But again, I mean, you got to look at some of the factors of the arms that they were facing. Absolutely filthy. I mean, this Braves team is underrated. I'll just say that. I mean, they were one game away from the World Series last year, but it is a really, really quality team. I wonder where the rankings line up at this point as far as who's going to win the World Series after the dust settles and the NLCS and ALCS are ready to go, because this Braves team is certainly contender.
Yeah, I do think a lot of people were underrating this Braves team because they saw the 88 wins. You know, they struggled a lot of the year, but I think definitely the pitching staff was underrated a lot. But I think you hit on something there, and it's probably a good place to end this, because that's where the game ended. And that's the Braves MVP showed up in Freddie Freeman, and the Brewers MVP in Christian Yelich did not show up. I mean, you take a called strike looking to end the game that really just, you know, encapsulates the whole season really of what happened, and just not having that lineup anchor exactly as, you know, you mentioned, to come up with a big hit there. I think I saw David Gasper tweet out, you know, during the game, you know, 2019 with Yelich up, game on the line, he'd felt great. 2021 version, not so much. And, you know, that just kind of speaks to where Yelich is at this point. And he even mentioned after the game, he's got to do better. But that's basically what it came down to. Their best player came up in a big spot and came through. Brewers came up and didn't. And that's really, you know, what it came down to in this series. So I know I said I was going to try to end it on a happy note, but I did not. But hopefully you will stick with me as we begin the offseason now. We'll recap the entire season tomorrow, and then we'll just start pushing away on the offseason stuff. And again, I'm really excited for this Brewers team going forward. I think the future is very bright for them. Unfortunately, came up short this year. I thought they had a good team, a chance to win the World Series. Pitching staff was certainly good enough. So have to see how they try to fix this offense in the offseason. That will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. You can follow me at Shortstop Ball and Benny at Benny Rotino. Also, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast, wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.